Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 560, 15 Years of Halo, recorded live on November 15th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And happy 15th anniversary to the Halo franchise. Woo!
Yay!
15 years that we've had Halo to the day. We actually just got done watching the Halo 15th anniversary live stream that they put on this afternoon, which started, of course, at 3:43 p.m. Pacific time. So it always has to be on the number. So we got to see some nostalgia come back. I know I got some memories that kind of came back with some of the stuff that they went through, and there's some ways that they're celebrating for those that want to get in on the celebration that we'll go through in a little bit. But it's been, let's see, I didn't start getting into Halo really until kind of 2006 is when I started kind of listening to the podcast. I'd played Halo before and at other friends' house, but didn't really get into it. Then kind of got into it a little bit later. But we're going to kind of take a walk down our own memory lanes, so to speak. We celebrated Halo 5's anniversary a couple weeks ago with Duquesne, Masters, and DJ Blue on the show. So with it being the 15-year anniversary for the Halo franchise as a whole, figure we just kind of walk down our own memory lane and kind of go from there, discuss the different ways that we're celebrating, that 343 is celebrating with fans, and just kind of have a nice little show around that for something to kind of kick back and relax. So I guess first place to start off is kind of our own memories with Halo 5. So Godzilla T, how about, or not necessarily Halo 5, but 15 years of Halo. So GT, how about you? Kind of looking back at 15 years of Halo for you.
I see that and I figure out that I am getting older. It's kind of like seeing a kid you used to babysit when you're a teenager get married type feeling sometimes. It has been a great ride. It's had its ups and downs, but I'm still here. I love the franchise. There are so many things that I've experienced because of Halo. It's hard to narrow them down to just one or two or 10, maybe 20. But, this all started when a friend of a friend said, "Hey, let's try this new game," in, it's like 2003, 2004 at the time. And, I remember how badly I sucked at Halo. I mean, I was terrible. Of course, it was the first time I'd ever played that style of game. A first-person shooter.
And probably on a console, too.
Well, no, pretty much all my games have been console. I never really played PC games until I managed to score a copy of Halo CE for PC. And even then, it was still several years after that before I even really played that because I just didn't have a PC that was capable of running it. My first PC was literally a 486 IBM, if I remember right. It was an old...
That predates me.
Yeah. Well, it's not a big secret, Dust. I predate you. it was funny listening to some of the people on the live stream say, I was like 6 years old when Halo came out. And I'm like, thanks. I was 30. It's been a lot of fun. There's a lot of good people in the community, and it's almost like an infection sometimes when it comes with comes to getting people involved in it. You give them a taste and they want more, and it's an addiction, I guess, is probably the easiest way to put it.
I think for me, with Halo being almost now, I guess, 10 full years of kind of being involved. So I got involved with Podtacular in 2006, summer 2006. So it being fall 2006 now, or 2016, and just the 10 years of being with Podtacular and really being invested in the Halo franchise, it's been really cool to see just some of the things that have changed in the game and just the dynamics of the community. And there's just so many fond memories that I have. I remember back when I was first playing Halo, like on my own, I had my own copy of Halo. I actually bought the game before I turned 17, and my parents had gotten me a laptop for school when I turned 17. So when I would go off to college, I would have the laptop. So I would spend my nights before actually falling asleep playing Halo CE on my laptop and really just taking that opportunity to get involved with the game. Because at the time, my family didn't allow us to have consoles, to own consoles. We rented Nintendo 64s back from Blockbuster when renting consoles was a thing for anyone that remembers those days.
Anyone old enough to remember those days.
At least I'm old enough to remember them. But it was something that I kind of just got involved with because it was something that my friends had at least mentioned before, and I had played Halo CE and Halo 2 on Xbox before. Granted, I wasn't any good at it at friend's house, but I never really got into it until getting involved with Podtacular, kind of listening to the podcast, getting Halo CE for PC, and really diving into that community, and then getting Halo 2 Vista when I moved off to college. So there was lots of different things around kind of my entry into Halo, so to speak. And then moving into the console areas was Christmas 2007, really the beginning of 2008, though, when I bought myself my own 360 for Christmas and bought Halo 3. And then I started doing a lot more stuff with the community in 2008 and really just starting to pick things up there. So that was kind of cool to really get into and just kind of starting to explore. Got involved with the campaign a lot. That was kind of my entry into the game because the story was just really fascinating to me. It took me a long time to actually get good at multiplayer. I remember when I first got the console and playing Halo 3 multiplayer being so frustrated because I didn't have the dexterity or the coordination to use both of my thumbs at the same time. So I would be moving or looking. I wouldn't be doing both.
Well, Halo 3 had quite a high entry level. You know, of all the games, Halo 3, as far as the multiplayer, is probably the most difficult game to play when it comes to actual skill because of just the way the weapons work in Halo 3. I have never been good at Halo 3. I would not say that I'm good at any Halo, but Halo 3 is my worst Halo. I honestly, even still to this day, I avoid matchmaking in Halo 3 because it frustrates me every time I play it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's one of, and I don't know what it is really, but it's something with the way that they coded the way that you look and that you move that feels very different from all the other Halo games to me.
Yeah.
And Halo 3 is the only one that has that problem. I can play Halo 1 just fine, Halo 4 decently. Before then, Halo 2 was like my cream and butter right there. Mm-hmm. And then Halo 5 coming along is kind of up there as well. But since, I mean, Halo 2, that was really the game I was best at. And then Halo 3 just kind of knocked. I mean, and that was my first game on the console space. I had played on the PC Halo 2 Vista. I don't remember if I had an Xbox controller. I think I may have used an Xbox controller on my PC when I was playing Halo 2 Vista. So I got used to that. But then when Halo 3, I think that was kind of after I got an Xbox, though. I don't think I had a controller. So I think I was using mouse and keyboard then. And I had played mouse and keyboard computer games for a little bit. So I wasn't as inept in that space, but when it came to doing the controller on Xbox 360, I just did not know what to do. And it's funny because whenever I've played with my dad before, granted we haven't played it too much, but every time that we play, just kind of getting seeing him get back into feeling or getting around to moving and looking at the same time and learning how to actually walk around the map. And it's just like, how is that point one time?
Yeah, it's definitely an adjustment. Because up until I started playing Halo, I mostly played either platformer type games like Mario Brothers or racing games. Matter of fact, when I got into Halo, I was really into Gran Turismo. I had, at the time, this is original PlayStation game, so it would be Gran Turismo 2, I believe. And I had two memory cards full of cars that I'd won in the game, because I had cars that were customized for, pavement tracks or dirt tracks. Some of them were very track specific. Like I had one car just to run ovals with. And the funniest thing is the car that I was actually using was a hill climb car.
Not too familiar, but okay.
Well, a hill climb car is designed for high downforce and short bursts. Because you just had, short straightaway corner, short straightaway corner, the road is just a long S shape up the side of a mountain. If you ever want reference, look at a Pikes Peak race. Well, I took that same car and set it up for an oval, like in probably the closest thing would be like Daytona, just a 2.5 mile circle, well, oval. And that's all I did with that car. But, getting back to Halo, that's where I was when I started playing Halo. So I was really not even close to being able to operate both thumbsticks at the same time. Because I was used to the old flat paddle controllers. You had your four-way on one side and you had your buttons on the other. And basically I used four buttons, the left, right tab on the cross, and the other two buttons were accelerate and brake. So it was a real adjustment going from that to operating two thumbsticks, paddles. It took a little adjustment. it was quite a jump for me.
I bet. Dang. Yeah. And then if you think about everyone coming from GoldenEye on N64, that was a big jump too, going from one stick and everything to two sticks. But going back to kind of the entry point for me into Halo 3 and really the console space, I started really diving into doing the walkthroughs for Halo 3's campaign. And that was kind of my first foray into Podtacular. And then eventually I picked up the podcast and later that year from Fumo. So it's just been really cool to see from that point on how my involvement with the franchise has grown. So in 2008, I went to my first MLG Dallas event, and then I kept going until 2012, which was the launch of Halo 4. And then from there, I was invited to PAX Prime to speak on a panel at Halo Fest 5 years ago. And then I've been to E3 now, San Diego Comic-Con. I've been to HCS tournaments. I've been to a whole bunch of different meetups. I've been to the studio. I've been to media events. And it's just really been crazy how much my involvement with Halo has grown since diving into Halo back in kind of 2006, 2007. So really for me, it's been 9 to 10 years that I've been involved with Halo.
Well, since I started listening to the podcast, I've made leaps and bounds as far as my life as well. Now, granted, I haven't traveled as much as you have, but I was able to be part of the 10-year anniversary of Podtacular, and that was an absolute blast. It was the first time I'd ever been to any type of gaming convention I'd say gaming convention, but convention period. I've been to some boat shows and things like that, but it's just not the same. I got to meet some of these people that I've played online with. I got to, put a face with the voice, which was absolutely awesome to meet everybody. You were kind enough to provide us with posters, and at the party, we've got all these signatures and stuff. And I got signatures from people that, I'd known for, 2-3 years, but I had no idea what they looked like. And this, that poster hangs on my wall right next to my wedding photo, actually.
Aww.
It's, you know, I put that in a very prominent place in my living room. And I'm not one to hang stuff up. Most of my stuff that I've collected is still in boxes in storage. One, I live in a duplex, so I don't have a whole lot of places I can display stuff, but I've just never been a person to put that kind of stuff on display. Now, once I get my own house, then I'll probably put it on display in a more permanent fashion. But, in, you know, now here, you know, I'm hosting a podcast with Duskstorm. And, you know, this all started from, you know, a message I got one day that said, hey, can you host Customs tonight? I'm like, okay, sure. at the time, I didn't even have any customs. I had no customs saved. I had, you know, I had to have Dust put some up on your file share, and I'll get them downloaded as soon as I get home. And, you know, that was my first customs night. And you know, that was in Halo 4. And I had a great time. We had a full lobby and we just had a blast. But it's just awesome. And, you know, if I could get to Dust level where I get invited to these other things, great. But if I don't, I have the community. I have the people that I've bonded with and developed friendships with. You know, some people are part of Podtacular, some people aren't. The funny thing is I keep meeting all these people that are my age or older, or you know, they're relatively close to my age, that still play Halo. And it cracks me up because, you know, I've always thought of myself as kind of the odd one. Here I am, 46 years old, and I still play video games regularly. You know, it's not just let's fire up the Xbox this weekend. You know, it's, you know, I'm on my Xbox just about every night, provided I don't have some other project I have to work on. But I find more and more people are still doing it. You know, people that are my age that got into Halo at the beginning, you know, right around when they were between 30 and 35 years old. And it amazes me the devotion these people have to the franchise. You know, with all the things that have been done wrong with the Halo franchise and all the things they've done right, to have people just stay because they enjoy the story, or they enjoy the multiplayer, or they enjoy the extended fiction. It's really amazing. And I have a lot of fun with it every night. Sometimes I get a little bit more frustrated because, you know, you have those nights that you just, you know, you can't hit the broad side of a wrong with a rocket launcher.
Yep. I've had those nights. I'm so inconsistent when it comes to gameplay with Halo. That's one of my downfalls, is I'm so inconsistent with aiming, and then my game style is not quite consistent either. So there's some games where I'll be spot on. I'll be getting headshots I didn't even think I could get. And then there are other games where I'm just like, what's wrong with my fingers?
Yeah, I'll go. There'll be games where I'm the bottom of the leaderboard. We'll get into the next game and I'll go 25-0 or 25-2. It's just, tonight I was playing the anniversary playlist, which, you know, I had to revive some original Halo 1 skills because, you know, you had the Halo 1 pistol start and it was so much fun and it played so well. Even on these, you know, remakes of the Halo 1 maps, the people that designed them and built them, it worked. Even with the Halo 5 abilities, it still worked. It still was fun. Just like when I would play these maps originally in Halo CE or Halo 2, they were just as much fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing CTF on Damnation. Oh, what was the map with the waterfall? And you had the three pillars that you had to jump across.
Yeah, Damnation.
Oh, it was Kevin.
I thought it was Damnation. Yeah,
is it Damnation? But anyway,
I thought it was Damnation. I think so.
Maybe it was Damnation. Damn it. Yeah, we were playing that tonight, and I don't know what it was, but my team just was not touching our sniper rifle. And, you know, for me, I generally stay away from the power weapons because usually when I pick them up, it's when I die. But I went on, you know, I picked up sniper rifle and I went on a terror with it.
Dang.
But the game before that, which was on Hang 'em High, I got 3 kills and died 14 times. You know, it's just random how that works. I'd love to be more consistent with my playstyle.
Right.
I mean, I have to admit, in Halo 5, overall, I'm doing better than I have in previous Halo games. Before this, before Halo 5, Halo 4 was my best game. I just seemed to adapt to the armor abilities in Halo 4 and the Spartan abilities in Halo 5 better than I did when I went from like Halo 2 to Halo 3. You know, Halo 1 and Halo 2, there wasn't that much difference other than the BR, which, you know, that took some time to get used to, and the big nerf on the pistol. But pretty much everything else, the playstyle stayed pretty similar. You just basically replaced the pistol with the BR. And then Halo 3 was just a total waste for me. I just never could get the hang of it. I was so far negative in Halo 3, I don't even look at the stat anymore. In Halo 4, I would, you know, I actually, before I quit playing it on 360, because my 360 is getting really tired and it doesn't like to load consistently, you know, I was actually starting to get on the positive side on my KD, at least in multiplayer. And in Halo 5, I stay on that positive side, you know, even more so than in Halo 4. So, you know, the game styles that have come up in the last two games, the play styles, have fit the way I think. They fit what I'm capable of doing. So I enjoy them quite a bit, even, you know, with the Spartan abilities. And don't get me wrong, they frustrate me just like they frustrate everybody else. But with that frustration, I do get enjoyment out of it, because it does add another layer of difficulty in some cases. But it, for some reason, it fits for me. You know, I like having sprint. I like having the thruster pack. I recently turned off hover because that was starting to get me killed more than I appreciated. But it's, you know, the clamber, ground pound. I'm actually starting to get to the point where I can use ground pound on a pretty regular basis. I have to admit, the Elite controller helps with that a lot.
I'm still using a regular controller. I haven't broken up my Elite controller in a while.
Yeah, I don't play with anything but my Elite controller. Now, if I'm playing on my PC, like, you know, like I'm playing Spartan Assault like that, I'll fire up just one of my regular Xbox controllers. But if I'm playing Halo as far as a shooter, I've got my Elite. I finally got a button configuration that works for me.
Nice. Do you just use two paddles instead of the four?
Actually, I use three paddles.
Oh, okay.
I have all four paddles on there, and I've been playing with the idea of assigning a button to the other paddle. But the reason I have all four paddles on there is just so I have a consistent feel right now.
See, I would always have clinch problems. I'd always be hitting extra buttons. It just doesn't work for me.
Well, that's the big problem I've had, is whenever I'd pull the trigger in a panic, or, you know, I'm getting up close and personal, I would always push down on that left thumbstick, or not left, right thumbstick. And before I had the Elite, what I'd do is, you know, I'd play green thumb, because green thumb turns that right thumbstick, you know, the down press, into melee, which, you know, when you get up close and personal, that kind of works. So I kind of made that clinch work for me. But with Halo 5, yeah, I played like that for a while, but it got to be to the point where it was becoming a hindrance again. In Halo 3, what was it? I think one of the control schemes that I was trying made that zoom. So I'd be in the middle of a firefight zooming in and out. You know, that really screws with your targeting. So, you know, the introduction of the Elite controller is, for me, a godsend. Thankfully, I haven't broke it yet. And I am traditionally very hard on controllers. If I can get 6 months out of a controller, it's really good. If I remember right, I'm close to a year on this Elite controller, and I haven't broke it yet. Now, I know some people have had troubles with them, and I'm sorry that you've had troubles with them, but so far, I've been having real good luck with them.
That's good.
Do you have a favorite moment in Halo?
Jeez, that's a hard one to answer. I don't know if I can pick out just one at the moment. I think I have a favorite convention moment, which was when I got invited out to go to Halo Fest and speak on a panel and go visit 343 all in one trip.
Yeah, I can see why that would be your favorite.
I mean, as far as a convention thing, or kind of like a generic Halo related memory, at least. But as far as something in the game, I'm not sure. There's a lot of campaign that's been played. There's a lot of multiplayer that's been played, and it's kind of hard to pick a favorite out of both of those realms because they're so different from each other, that's hard. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
I mean, for me, you know, I'm the same way. I don't really have one favorite moment. I have lots of favorite moments, but one of my favorite moments is finishing every game on Legendary. The accomplishment of completing the campaign on Legendary solo is, you know, I've always kind of prided myself on that. Now, granted, on Halo 2, it took me 8 years because I completed every level except the first level on Legendary. And it honestly wasn't until I'd gotten Halo 2 PC or Halo 2 Vista. You can leave the Vista off, but anyway. That was when I was playing through that. That was the first time I'd actually ever completed Halo 2's campaign from beginning to end on Legendary. And then I went back on the Xbox and fired up Halo 2, and I was able to complete it on the console as well.
Nice.
So I don't know if the playing it on PC and beating it on PC gave me the confidence to complete it on console, or if I just have gotten that much better at playing Halo games. But that Halo 2 Legendary campaign is brutal.
Yeah, it's probably the toughest Halo campaign out there.
I mean, there are parts of other campaigns that are really difficult, but that one, it's a fight the whole game.
Especially at the beginning of the game, because you have the room with the elites on the turrets, and you had the noob combo. That's where everyone learned the noob combo.
Yeah. It's
talk about a steep learning curve.
That was the most satisfying completion, was completing that game on Legendary. The saddest moment was the end of Halo 4.
Yeah, that was a tearjerker.
I mean, even now, as I play through the campaigns and I watch that in that last cutscene, I mean, even though I know what's going on in Halo 5, which, you know, okay, yeah, Cortana's alive in Halo 5, it still just breaks my heart to watch that last scene.
Well, and it's not even really Cortana. It's a fragment of her in Halo 5.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that, because I think I've come across stuff that has given me new theories on Cortana's resurgence in Halo 5. But anyway, there's just, you know, there's so many ups and downs in the whole franchise, you know, even in the books. I love the books. Granted, Forerunner Trilogy, it can be kind of a drag to get through, but I still hear new things when I listen to the books.
Like even going back and listening to them, or are you talking about listening to new books?
No, going back and listening to the old books.
Oh.
I don't listen to the radio anymore.
Oh.
I just rotate between the podcasts and the audiobooks.
Wow.
I have listened. I've probably gone through each one of the books 10, 15 times.
Jeez, dude.
But every time I listen to them, with the new information that comes out, it gets you thinking. It's like, well, did they really mean this or do they really mean this? And it's almost like every time I listen to the books, I hear something new, or some new idea pops in my head.
Something new sticks.
Yeah. Or I hear something that I thought I understood before, and then now all of a sudden I'm like, well, no, now that doesn't really make sense. And it's fun. You know, there are times I'll be listening to one of the audiobooks, and I literally have to stop my truck on the way in. And it's like, I don't remember listening to that. I don't remember that line, but then it pops in there again. Like right now I'm finishing up Last Light again.
Again.
Again, yeah. I've listened to Fractures twice since it came out, and I'll probably listen to it again next week after I catch up on podcasts. But you know, I have a play order that I play the books, and it's as close to chronological order as you can probably get the books, because you know they tend to overlap a lot between the different books.
True.
You know, especially when you start talking. The original trilogy that Eric Nyland did, and then the Ghost of Onyx books. Well, that kind of leads into the, so, you know, it's, I've got them laid out in a way that it, is kind of chronological, but not really. You know, it's as chronological as you can get by just stacking the books. So I can just go from one to the next, and I can go through the history of, you know, all the Halo novels right there. And there's a lot of information in there. There's a lot of things that you pick up just by listening to them, and you can apply to new stuff that comes out. There's, unfortunately, some inconsistencies because some of the early books weren't vetted as well as they probably should have been, but it's still fun to listen to.
Well, I mean, part of that, didn't they kind of rework some of the stuff in the games anyways from Reach and whatnot? Because, I mean, the books before then were fine. They fit well until Reach came out.
But yeah, they fit well with each other. They fit well with each other, but there are still a few inconsistencies in the books. Now, you know, this is not even counting Reach the game, because that is like, that is way so far out in left field. You know, as many times as I've listened to the Fall of Reach and I've played through the Reach campaign, it's like they're two totally different stories. Where one end does not begin. You know, there's so much inconsistency there that the only way you could fix that is to get rid of Reach, the game, rewrite the entire campaign, and re-release it. Because when you start really paying attention to the Fall of Reach, and especially the Ghost of Onyx, because there's information in the Ghost of Onyx that applies to Reach, there are just a lot of things that do not add up. You know, the least of which is the very end of it, where Chief's already in a cryotube when, you know, the Pillar of Autumn is taking off. You know, when the Covenant attacked Reach, Pillar of Autumn was already on its way out system, you know, with a full load of Spartans. It wasn't leaving the docks. The Spartan threes.
But didn't they have like those Oni articles that was supposed to help clarify that?
Yeah, sure. They probably did. I haven't read them. The book says one thing and the game says something totally different. You go from, you know, according to the book, the Chief didn't go into cryo until they were in slipspace, running away from Reach, with a Covenant armada chasing them.
Right.
And then you get out of there, you know, they find the Halo ring, and, you know, they wake the Chief, you know, just like they do in the game, and, you know, all hell breaks loose. Well, according to Reach the game, Master Chief was already asleep or put in his cryo tube before they even left the planet, literally. Before they even launched off the planet. Now, granted, you know, there's been some discussion that, oh, that's just an Easter egg that's in there, but it's one of those things that gripes me. I mean, it's great that they put Master Chief there, but they should have just had him standing there. The fact that, you know, Cortana was already on the Pillar of Autumn before, you know, she was on Pillar of Autumn. Well, I guess that could play in, but there's some stuff in there that. And the whole timeline with the Spartan threes is a little funky. In, you know, in Halo Reach, you're playing a Spartan three wearing Mjolnir armor. Well, in the books, all the Spartan threes wore SPI armor. The whole thing with the Spartan threes were a secret project that not even Dr. Halsey knew about. But yet we have George working with a group of Spartan threes when he's a Spartan two. But, you know, this is a whole rabbit hole we can go down real deep. I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed Reach, the game. It was a good game. It was a lot of fun to play. It's just the story didn't fit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's one of those things for me that I've just kind of taken the books as the canon because it was done beforehand. And with regards to what Reach did to kind of throw a wrench in some of those things, just kind of take it as the discrepancies that it is. And 343 tried to clean it up a bit. They did what they could with it, but...
Well, yeah, I'm not blaming 343. They were handed the mess when it came to that game. Another one of the high points of my life with Halo was ODST. An absolute phenomenal game.
Yes, the campaign in that, in the music, hands down, makes it my most favorite campaign of the Halo franchise.
You know, for a Halo 3 add-on, as it is originally intended to be, that turned out to be an absolutely awesome game. It ranks right up there at the top of my list. The original Halo CE will always top my list. It's the game that I learned on. It is my favorite game of the entire franchise.
That's what got you hooked.
Yeah, and it will always be my favorite game. But ODST, the story in there, you have Nathan Fillion playing Buck. Great character. He does an awesome job. But also, the other cast, the woman that played Dare, I can't think of her name right now, Romeo, Mickey, oh shoot, what's his name?
Well, and half of those folks from Firefly.
Yeah, who was not the rookie, the other, the heavy weapon specialist. I had his name and I lost it.
He's, I think, Jamie in Firefly. He wears the beanie. Shoot, I don't know. I'm horrible with actor names to begin with.
Dutch. Thank you, Laird. You know, as much fun as I had with Buck, there is one scene in that game with Dutch that I absolutely love.
Adam Baldwin. That's who it is.
Yeah. When you launch that warthog off the cliff and it lands,
mm-hmm.
the way he delivered that line, my favorite line in the whole game. It ranks right up there with the Halo 2. I bet you can't stick it.
Yeah.
But a phenomenal game. And Firefight, I loved Firefight harder than hell, though.
Definitely when you were going for the, what was it, you had to do the four sets on Legendary. You usually do it with four people. The Skulltacular one.
2.5 hours.
Yeah. Whatever that, I forget what that was called.
Marathon, I believe it is.
Aptly named.
Yeah, it is a Vidmaster achievement, and I wanted my recon armor, and that was the last achievement I had to get my recon. It was that achievement right there, and me and three random people, one of which I'm still friends with today, we spent 2.5 hours on Lost Platoon grinding away for that achievement.
So you did the Lost Platoon route.
Yeah. You know, there's lots of people that says, oh, do this one. Now, Lost Platoon is the easiest one to do it on.
I think I ended up getting up mine on in Security Zone.
Yeah.
I think that's where I got mine.
By the time we hit the fifth wave, because you have to complete the fourth wave for it to actually count, or round, whatever.
Five waves in a round, three rounds in the set.
We had about 15 choppers stuffed underneath the building. When we started that last set, we had 21 lives saved up. We were actually ahead on lives, 21.
That's impressive.
We got that down so pat by the time we got there. We just had that system nailed. Everybody had their job and everybody did their job almost perfectly every round.
That's incredible. That's not easy to do.
No, it's not. It worked. And I was so glad to have that achievement out. I mean, we had two guys down on the ground, Jack and Choppers. I was in the center building. My responsibility was Wraiths. And then we had one other guy just running around doing cover. You know, he'd watch my back while I'm taking care of the Wraiths, and then he would go help with the, you know, taking out the choppers. And then, you know, those choppers, even on that high difficulty with all those skulls on, would just rip through people, rip through enemies, especially on the bonus rounds. Oh my Lord. Those things.
As long as you watch out for the suicide grunts.
Like with the choppers, you go long range with them things. Long range. You get three of those just pounding away on that Phantom, and you rack up so many points so fast.
Huh. Okay. I wonder why I never really got around to trying that. I guess with the group I was with.
Yeah, a lot of people did it on Security Zone. And don't get me wrong, I tried it four or five times on Security Zone, and we got up to, the third, partially into the fourth set, and it all falls apart so quickly.
Gotcha. I think I had to try it twice, and I got it on my second run. And then I helped someone else get theirs as well. It'd be interesting to go back and try it, though. I know there would be a little hesitation to do so for a lot of people, but still, it'd be interesting to try it. Just to see if you can do it again. Relive those memories.
I remember doing the Halo 3 Ghost Run.
Oh, yeah, the last level.
Yeah, that was an entertaining night. That was another one that was about 3 hours.
Really?
When we actually got it, one member had lagged just far enough behind that the grating had collapsed and his ghost fell and landed on a ledge of one of the center buildings that you fly through or you drive through. There's just this little ledge underneath, and he sat there until we hit a checkpoint and it sucked him forward.
I don't remember taking it that long for when I did it. It didn't.
Well, the biggest problem we had was getting to the point where we have the ghost.
Oh, gotcha.
Getting through the first part of it. And we did do the Johnson glitch.
Nice.
Just because it was fun to kill Johnson. and, how can you argue with an unlimited Spartan laser? It's just...
makes things super convenient.
Yeah. I would do that, when I was playing by myself just for fun.
Nice. And that you could do that on any difficulty, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times. I would definitely say, though, ODST for the campaign, probably for multiplayer. I don't know. That one's hard because you just have so many different gameplay experiences with different kinds of multiplayer. So Halo 3, having the Forge being one of the cool things and having all the custom games in Halo 3 was crazy. And then you had even more in Reach. And then Halo 2, kind of from a gameplay foundational standpoint, was where I was strongest at. Halo 4 was kind of meh. Halo 5, I'm really enjoying. So it's kind of hard to play something, at least from a multiplayer perspective, on what I like the best. But I don't think it's really possible to pull out one specific moment from playing Halo that I would consider my most favorite moment in the game. I think you maybe boil it down to a favorite campaign moment. I could probably think of one after a while, but with multiplayer and everything else, it's hard to pick.
Yeah, there's so many favorite moments. It was like, I went through, 3 of them. There's probably a couple hundred more of those.
Easily, probably.
It's just the last 15 years with Halo have been so much fun. Even with the drama, it's just been so much
fun. Even with the growing pains. And hey, we're only 15, so we're teenagers. We're in that rebellious stage. We're kind of past that. From a community standpoint, I think we're kind of past that. That was kind of the Halo 4 era. Or at least it kind of feels that way.
We're hoping we're not going through the terrible teens again with Halo 6.
Only one way to find out. That'll be in a couple years, I guess. So I want to highlight some of the different anniversary things that 343 mentioned during the stream today and that they posted up on their website in reference to what they were doing to celebrate. So first thing is, for those that haven't been on Halo 5 yet, or maybe you're listening to this, by the time this is out, the playlist is probably gone because I'm behind on editing. But we have a anniversary throwback playlist. So it's taking maps from Halo 1 that the community has made. And Unishek has curated some of the best remakes that the community has produced and has put them into a special anniversary throwback playlist. And that's available now. They played a few games on stream. I believe they played a CTF on Battle Creek, and then they did a Slayer on Chill Out during the stream. So if you want a little throwback of Halo CE action in Halo 5, they've kind of blended a lot of things as far as keeping all the abilities from Halo 5's gameplay, and they've altered the maps a little bit to account for that, but they've also try to keep true to the design of the original maps. So the ones that they have included, they've tried to leave it as original as possible. But the six of them that they highlighted in the waypoint post that they made were Battle Creek, Chill Out, which both of them they played during the live stream, Prisoner, Hang 'em High, Damnation, and Rat Race. And I actually got to play a couple of games on Rat Race before starting the podcast tonight, and it was a lot of fun. There's some aspects of having the different Spartan abilities that makes it play a little bit different, but for the most part, at least for Rat Race, it felt like the flow was kind of how I remembered it from Halo CE.
Yeah, there's a map I haven't thought about in a while.
I still don't think there's enough teleporters to make Chiron TL-34 proper. It'd be cool.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't.
I don't think there's enough teleporters, though.
Yeah. You could do it, but you definitely couldn't set the teleporters like they were in the original, where they went to the same place every time. You would have...
So, in Halo 3, I actually ended up making a Chiron TL-34 map. And on some of the places where I had to use, or that I would try to use teleporters, I just used shield doors instead. So there were some rooms that you could basically logically connect up and fit them like a puzzle. And then other rooms that you kind of had to put teleporters just because of the way that it was laid out. But Chiron TL-34, I really liked that map. That was one of my favorites. It's very chaotic, but if you know how the rooms flow and how they're laid out, it's pretty fun to take advantage of it. So there's those maps in the throwback playlist, and that is at the top of the arena playlist if you go into arena. They have added some new gamer picks that you can use for your either Xbox profile, or you can download them and add them to your social media. There's a few Cortana ones, a few Master Chief ones. There's the official Halo 15 years logo. There's the UNSC logo as well, and a couple of them are artwork pieces. So you can find those over on Halo Waypoint as well. 9 new ones. And then there's, if you download the pack of the anniversary gamer picks, there's also a background in there, I believe, that you can add onto your phone or desktop or wherever you want to add it. So definitely worth checking out. Lots of cool stuff to help celebrate Halo and 15 years of Halo. So that's up there as well. They have also released a rec pack that is available from now until November 22nd. So if you log into Halo 5 or Waypoint, then you'll be able to get this rec pack, which includes, if you haven't unlocked them already, because if you've unlocked them, then they're actually... I'm not sure if you get something else or what, but you get the Mark IV armor and helmet. So those are the armor pieces that you will unlock. You get 4 Spanker rocket launchers. You get 4 CE Magnums and 4 Halo 2 beam rifles.
Wow.
So you get to claim those in your rec pack if you grab it between now and the 22nd. And there's some pretty nice recs, especially the CE Magnums. Spankers are pretty good too. Halo 2 beam rifles are wicked in Warzone. So definitely worth checking out. They also have... what was the other thing that was on here? Throwback playlist. So for those that are using the iOS sticker pack, they added 4 new stickers in celebration of the 15-year anniversary. From the Halo Gear store, they've added a few new items on there. So if you guys remember the E3 pins from last year, the Master Chief and Spartan Lock helmet pins, you can buy those now. And there's also a Master Chief wallet. And then everyone's favorite, if they haven't bought them already, the Plasma Grenade plushie. I bought 3.
You bought 3.
2 for me, 1 for giveaway. And it makes a little sticky noise, too. It has a little audio chip embedded in it.
Oh, nice.
So there's also 15% off anything that you buy from the Halo store between now and November 30th. So if you're looking for an early Christmas gift for somebody that likes Halo, this would be a great thing, especially the plushie. That's a new thing. I think that's the new item. It's been a while since I've been over on the Waypoint store or the Halo Gear store, so I haven't seen the pins or the Master Chief Wallet before, so those are still kind of new to me. But definitely the Plasma Grenade plushie would be one to check out.
I may have to get one of them.
It's $12.99 for the plushie, and it's 15% off. And then, of course, going back to the stream, which we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, they had it was almost 2 hours. It wasn't quite 2 hours, a little shy of, it was more like an hour and 50 minutes, but they showed off the Halo Museum. They actually had Frank O'Connor, Joe Staten, Corinne Robinson up, in addition to Grim Brother One and Brian Reed, going through the Halo Museum and talking about kind of their memories with Halo. And it's kind of cool to see Frankie, Joe, and Brian all together. Some of the older Halo back in the Bungie day folks. And walking through the museum, it was really cool to have them go talk about what they were doing during E3 conferences, how they were marketing certain things, and really just getting an inside look of some of the past development of the Halo franchise, which we all know and love today. So that was cool. You didn't get to see quite everything in the museum. It was kind of a mix between interviewing them and showing off a handful of things in the museum. But there have been plenty of other people that have gone and actually done museum tours. And we actually have some footage from while I was out there for PAX West that I haven't uploaded yet, which hopefully I'll get to before Christmas, amongst other things. I heard that snicker. They also had a little video interview with Den Ayoub and Max Slazor. I always say it. His name is a weird one. Slagor, I think, who are both working on Halo Wars 2. So they kind of went through Blitz mode and explained how it's a little bit more quicker and easier way of getting into the RTS genre. And some of the stuff we've already heard before. I think it was more for just those who hadn't really dug into what Blitz was, or from the latest amount of media coverage that they got, which I think was, what, a month and a half ago when they first showed off Blitz?
Yeah.
So it was more just along the lines of bringing that up for people who hadn't heard or hadn't seen that coverage. They also did a little loot crate reveal showing that the latest exclusive figure that's in the loot crate is a Master Chief from Halo CE hurdling a grunt. And there's actually two different things that you can do with the figure. You can either have it where you have the grunt on the plate with the Master Chief, or you can just have the Master Chief only on the plate. And that's the third of the six different figures that they have planned for the loot crate. So that was pretty cool. They also had a little preview for HCS Las Vegas with Tashi and Strongside. They also, to wrap things up, had a little teaser for some content coming to Halo 5 here pretty soon, of which the anti-air Wraith and the Halo Reach grenade launcher, aka the ProPipe, will be making their return to the Halo franchise.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the different rec versions of the grenade launcher.
So I'm assuming it'll probably just start out with a base model.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with it and what they're actually going to release. If they're just going to release the one version, or if they're going to do multiple versions. Same with the anti-air Wraith.
Well, for the Wraith, you can probably assume that they'll have a normal Wraith, and then they'll have the sword Wraith version.
Yeah, you know, just think an ultra anti-air Wraith.
I could see where the grenade launcher would be. You have the two modes default, where you either hold and release to explode or let it bounce and explode. I would think there would probably be, if they were to do another variant of it, it would be proximity detonated. Like doesn't one of the rocket launchers have a proximity detonation mode?
I believe so. I can't remember.
So I could see them doing something like that with a variant off of the grenade launcher to do a proximity detonation.
I know I'm going to have a lot of fun laying down booby traps.
Yeah. I was so fond of the ProPipe in Reach. It's been weird. Every time a game's come out, I've always attached to the kind of the odd weapons. So in Halo 3, the Spartan laser I really connected with. Halo 4, it was the railgun. Halo Reach, the pro pipe. Halo 5, the plasma caster.
Oh, I kind of like the sticky debt.
Just something about those guns that are a lot of fun.
Matter of fact, there was a whole game type developed for the sticky debt.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much how you played it. You stuck one of your friends and they ran over into the other team's base. And then you exploded them. Yeah.
Really?
Something like that. Except for...
Was it like a...
It was...
Offshoot of Red Rover?
More like a stick and run. You'd stick your teammate because only one person could have the sticky debt. And they weren't allowed to leave the base. In order to score points, if I remember right, you had to kill people inside the base with an explosion. That's the only way you could earn points. You got no points for, you know, melee or killing with the pistol. You could only earn points with the sticky debt. And that was the whole premise of the game. You stuck your friends because friendly fire was turned off and they would run over into the other team's base and you'd let go of the trigger and boom. I only got to play it a couple times, but man, it was a blast. You had to watch teammates, so they like to stick you in places they shouldn't be sticking you.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's to everyone's own perspective, right? So, those two are coming back. Although, the anti-air wraith was never really a vehicle that you could use unless you kind of tricked it in Halo 3's campaign where you glitched the driver out and then you were holding X at the same time so you would get in it, but then if you ever died or if you got out of it, it would instantly explode, yada yada yada. So it was never technically an official vehicle in the game, so it's interesting that they're adding it in now.
As many times as people have jacked the anti-air race, especially in Halo 3, I think it's time for it to be an actual playable vehicle. You know, in Halo 3, It just, of course, in Halo 3, since it's been, it's just so overpowered. You know, it had no cooldown on the turret. You just hammer away and just hammer away. The only thing you had to be careful is not to blow yourself up. It was so much fun just to grab that and just barrel through enemies.
Talking about barreling through enemies, speed.
Yeah, which I really wish speed worked better in Halo 5.
I do too.
I mean, don't get me wrong, we played it that the other night, and it was okay, but it still wasn't speed. It just seemed like it took way too long to get up to, you know, up to speed, unlike in Halo Reach.
Well, I almost feel like that was the reason why they had the delay on letting the zombies out of the cage in the first place, is because it takes so long to get up to speed.
Yeah, but in Halo Reach, you got up to speed a lot faster.
Yeah, and there's something with the physics or the mechanics of the Halo 5 engine where if you're pushing on the directional pad, it'll naturally slow you down.
Mm-hmm. It'll bring you down to the maximum speed of the vehicle, yeah.
But, yeah, Reach is where it's at. And at least for Reach backwards compatibility, they fix a lot of those issues to where it's actually usable.
Oh, yeah. Last time I played Reach, it was very usable. It was very enjoyable to play. Unlike the first time I fired it up, which, you know, shooters at 10 frames per second just don't work.
Not really. And then the only other thing that was kind of cool on the stream for me was whenever Brian pulled out some of his old Halo stuff that he had stashed away. So he brought a paper bag full of stuff, one of which was a marketing thing of when they were marketing Halo CE to Microsoft on about the game, different concerns that folks had about the game or whatnot. So that was cool to see that a little bit. And then he pulled out some old swag and shirts and things. And he even pulled out a Halo 3 Xbox 360 wireless headset and was wearing that for the last half of the stream.
I have one.
I do too. It's sitting up there with my Halo 3 controller and my Halo 3 Xbox 360.
Of course, all the foam's rotted off of mine because I used it. I love those.
Oh yeah, it's off of mine too. They were nice.
For considering the technology of the day, those things were awesome.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, I basically used that thing all the way up until I started using Turtle Beaches, which was I think about 6 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. Then after I went through my third set of Turtle Beaches, I actually bought a good set and got myself a set of A40.
Nice.
Oh, I love that thing. It was great. I would just, you know, I'd sit on my couch and I'd just be in a party talking to friends. Yeah, I wouldn't be playing. I'd just be sitting in the party talking to friends. I'd have the Xbox on and I'd be sitting there watching TV or something. Just, you know, just chatting. And it had a hellacious range on it, too.
The headset?
Yeah. It has better range than anything, any of the other wireless headsets I've purchased. The Turtle Beaches, I've got the second generation of the A50s now, but I've just, that little headset, I could go pretty much anywhere in my house and still talk.
Wow.
You know, with my Turtle Beaches and with these A50s, if I go past my kitchen, that's about as far as I can go. You know, if I need to run down into my garage, it's hopeless. I go through that door and I lose all signal. But that wireless headset, I could go anywhere in my house and I'd have signal.
I don't think I ever tried it out to like see what the maximum range was. Granted, I think by the time I got these Astros, it was... Well, I got A40s from Blue and I started using those over the wireless headset. That's interesting, though.
Well, yeah, I don't know what they used for radio wave on that. And it was great.
So we had that, and that's really all the stuff that was shown. They did do a little mannequin challenge video that everyone's been doing lately. It's the latest social media craze. So they did a whole fly through of the first floor of the new headquarters for 343, and they had a lot of people there, even people in addition to the studio participating in it. And it was really well done, although... There were a few times where I saw people moving during the video, so it wasn't flawless, but it was still pretty good for how many people were in it.
Well, it's hard to hold still.
Yeah. You could see some people also, like, their eyes tracking the camera, too.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, pretty good. And that video is now up on YouTube as well. So the teaser for the grenade launcher and the anti-air wraith is up, and then the video of the mannequin challenge is also up, so you can check those out. All right, so we've missed a couple of updates over the past couple of podcasts. Most of them have just been informative stuff about Brian Gerard, and we have a lot of Q&A stuff that is just, it's a lot of things to go through. And I think the last Q&A stuff that he had in here, well, this was from 2 weeks ago. The Q&A he had was filled with, like, I think almost like 30 questions. So you can go read that if you want. And then there's some other stuff from last week's update that we got covered today, and the anniversary thing, and a couple other things that aren't that different. So if you want to check up on that stuff, then I recommend you go back and look at that. One last thing I will add, though, is in the update post that they put on Halo Waypoint, they has some excerpts from some of the studio heads, some past studio employees, and some community folks with their kind of opinions of the last 15 years of Halo and what it's meant to them. And Grim reached out to me and asked me to provide a blurb for that. So you'll see my name up on Halo Waypoint if you want to go check out what I had to say about my past 15 years with Halo. And there's a few other ones up there as well. A lot of studio heads you'll recognize: Kiki Wolfkill, Dan Ayoub, Frank O'Connor, Bonnie Ross, David Ellis, Tom French. And then a few of them that aren't there at 343 but have helped in Halo in the past: Max Oberman, Vic DeLeon, and Deej from Bungie. So check those out. They're worth the read. And that'll be it for the podcast tonight. Happy 15, Halo.
Happy 15.
It's been a lot of fun, and looking forward to what we have coming down the future for the Halo franchise. A lot of good stuff. Let's see if I can insert a little birthday-like sound effect in there.
Grant birthday party.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I'll add that in there too. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in. I know for the live stream, it was pretty quiet tonight, especially being right after the anniversary live stream, but thanks to Frizzle Chief for coming out. Laird, Hot Sauce dropped in for a little bit. Confowl was in here. Still in here, I think. But thank you, everyone, for tuning in to us on Twitch. We're broadcasting now on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. for anyone that is looking to join us live on the show. We also have the event with Godzilla Tea on Fridays, which is our Frag and Fridays, which is Lobby's choice of customs, firefight, arena, whatever. And that happens at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fridays. Check us out on our social media stuff. We are on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, and we have a Beam channel. I'm not sure how much we're going to start using that, but it might be a platform for us to explore a little bit with. So we do have that. If you want to go over and follow us on there, you can do podtacular.com/beam to find us. You can also go over to our club on Xbox One. They released that feature for everyone now, so it's not just preview members. So if you go to poddaggler.com/Xbox, that'll take you over to our club, so you don't have to go search for the club number or anything. So poddaggler.com/Xbox will take you directly to our club on xbox.com, or if you want to go through the console, just search for Podtackler and you can join up there. There's no restrictions to join the club. If you request an invite, we will accept you. If you don't get an acceptance in a day or so, then message myself or GT, which I need to make you a moderator, GT, of the group. But if you haven't received any acceptance from that, message one of us, let us know, and we'll check our invite requests. And you can also check out our Spartan Company, too, which I believe we have a spot or two left if anyone is interested in joining our Spartan Company. It's been a while since I've looked at the challenges that we need to complete, but we still have quite a few to get the armor for the Achilles.
The helmet.
So still quite a ways to go. The helmet?
Yeah, we already got the armor.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I got them flip-flopped. Okay. So we also are part of a podcast gaming-specific network, which is thepodcast.com. That is thepodcast.com, which has podcasts like Critzcast, which is a Team Fortress 2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, The Learning Cliff, which hasn't really been making episodes, but still getting some attention, which is an EVE Online podcast. There's also Podcast 76, which is kind of unofficially affiliated with the podcast network. And then there's also Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. So definitely recommend you guys check out the network and see what they're all about. That will conclude this episode of the podcast. Thanks for downloading us. We will see you all next week. Keep on fragging anniversaries.